Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons back live at Fenway Park. Joining us on the phone lines now is ESPN's Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by New England Chevy Dealers. Together, let's drive. Mr. Schefter, are we ready for another NFL season? Adam?
Another season. You got me? You got me?
Yes, we do now.
Hello. How are you doing? I said, Andy, Nick, Ted, great to be with you, and I am ready for another season.
So the first question out of the gates, we've been having some statue talk around here in New England. Tom Brady got his statue in the plaza just outside of Gillette Stadium last month. Today, Mr. Kraft said that he's always had the plan that when Bill Belichick's coaching career is over, there will be another statue out there. Do you think all three of them should have statues? Are you a guy that thinks there should only be a Brady statue? There's been a lot of surprisingly hot statue debate around New England these days.
Well, to me, all three belong. First of all, that area would not be what it is today without Robert Kraft. I mean, he's the one that developed that entire area. And if you look at it, I mean, he built it from the ground up, did he not? I mean, that's his little play area. And he deserves all the credit for building up all that area around that stadium. And so to me, that he deserves one. And Belichick is, you know, one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. He's a part of the team. Why would he, like, why are we shortchanging statues?
So one of the big buzzy topics around here is the Patriots make way for the Mike Vrabel era to get underway Sunday, Adam, against the Raiders, has been the health of cornerback Christian Gonzalez. Mike Vrabel was even a little prickly today in his presser as far as his availability. Have you heard anything as to whether or not Gonzo, who's dealing with a hamstring injury, may or may not play Sunday?
I saw what Vrabel said. I had not specifically checked on him to find out. It didn't sound like he was tracking the play, but I don't know that. You know, that's just me reading between the lines on what he was saying. I have not checked on Christian Gonzalez's availability. So, again, he's a key part to have out there. They're going to be careful, I would think, with a hamstring. It's a long season. You don't want to rush things.
Adam, most national guys are kind of bullish on the Patriots. They, you know, they think that they're going to have a big bounce back and that they're maybe have a good chance of making the playoffs. Just what are your feelings on this year's Patriots teams, and what is the expectations you have of them?
Bullish. I believe that they are where the Denver Broncos were last year to a certain extent. People were not expecting Denver to rise up. And in the end, they had a better season than people expected, won more games than people expected, went to the playoffs. I kind of feel the same way about this New England team. I'm not going to be surprised if they win more games than expected, and I'm not going to be surprised if they wind up going to the playoffs as a wild card team. Just calling it right now.
Time to get this week's Drake's Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And I ask you, Adam Schefter, because if the Patriots are going to surprise people, just like the Broncos did, Bo Nix was a part of that, how ready do you believe, or do you think the buzz around the NFL believes, that Drake May is ready for that year two jump?
No, I think he's ready. I mean, I think that they have a little bit more offensive firepower around him. They're still assembling it. There's still room for improvements, but they did what they could. In one off season, there's a new coaching staff. I think that Drake May is going to take a jump in his second season. I'd be surprised and disappointed if he didn't. But I think he's poised to make that next jump. And if we look back at that quarterback draft class, it has the makings of being a really, really strong quarterback draft class. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, like, pretty good. Pretty good. I'm not going to compare it to 1983, but we're starting to get into territory where I think this is going to be one of the more memorable quarterback draft classes.
one of the players Pats fans can't wait to see Sunday, who should be out there on the offensive side of the ball, is rookie running back Travion Henderson, who we've been bullish about since even before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, would it surprise you if he was utilized more heavily than being listed as running back three, and could he be an offensive rookie of the year contender for the Pats?
Yeah, I think all those things are possible. What I would say there is this. I don't care that he's listed as number three. To me, he's going to get, you know, they're going to get him his touches every week, you know, via passes, via runs. You know, somebody like that with his size, you know, I don't think he's going to be a guy that carries the ball 27 times a game. But I do think that you're going to get that guy 13 to 15 touches a game, however they are, whether that's a screen pass, a draw, whatever it may be. But, you know, he's going to touch the ball every week. So that, to me, is what's key. And he's going to get his touches no matter how much they, you know, list him as third string.
So, Adam, I'm not sure if you had a chance to hear Mike Vrabel a couple weeks ago. He kind of called out someone for being a rat. There was some information that leaked that he didn't like. And so he basically used the term rat to kind of just because he was disappointed in that information getting out. And a lot of people thought it was targeted maybe at someone in the front office. And if you look at the draft class from last year, not many guys from last year's draft are still on the team. And a lot of the guys that Elliott Wolf signed to extensions last year are not on the team. What is the reputation of Elliott Wolf around the NFL? Because it feels like Vrabes does not see eye to eye when it comes to how Elliott Wolf assembles a team.
Well, look, he's going to have a chance to work with them and prove himself this year, but I think people believe that Elliott Wolf, he's been a very sound personnel man. He's got a very solid reputation. You know, whether or not he's going to be long-term there in that role with Mike Vrabel, again, I think that's what this year is about, working with each other and seeing how well they do or don't get along, how simpatico they are or are not. But like, Elliott's got he's a solid guy. He's been a solid guy for a long time. This is a team that did not have a great draft, obviously, to say the least, in 2024. But I think Elliott's reputation is pretty strong.
Adam Schefter, I know you're a college football guy, Michigan man, but I'm sure your eyes were on UNC on Monday night. What was your reaction to Bill Belichick's debut as a college football coach now and then the way that game played out?
Yeah, I think that it was surprising and disappointing. Like, they started so quickly, and you saw the first drive, and you're like, wow, oh my, this is the Bill effect, and look at this team, and and then that was it. The highlight of the game was the first drive. So
that was it.
I mean, it had to be disappointing, and obviously he's got his detractors out there, so I'm sure some people love that. But it doesn't take away that he's a great coach, and it's going to take some time for him to make his mark down there.
Of course, we love football outside of New England as well. Adam, can you give me the latest on the Micah Parsons situation? What's going on between the Green Bay, Dallas, that injury and everything?
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he had an injury that was back injury that was with Dallas. They were treating it with a prescription medication, physical therapy, trying to get him ready. There is a joint sprain in his back. He is trying to play and I think likely to play on Sunday. I mean, look, it would be a surprise if he didn't play. They paid him $188 million. They gave up two first-round draft picks. They traded another player. It's the first home game of the season. It's against the division rival. Do you think he's not going to be out there? I mean, really? Come on. You know, he'll find a way. And if it means taking a pain-killing injection, which he's certainly contemplating right now, then he'll do that. But I expect that he'll be out there on Sunday making his Packers debut against the Detroit Lions.
Adam, we talked to you a lot last year, and we'll get you out on this one. You've talked about stories that you've been involved with, big stories that never came to fruition, big stories that surprised you. Where does this Micah Parsons deal fall on sort of your barometer of big stories over the years and how it unfolded?
Well, I think the best way to look at it is that there have been two players in history who have finished in the top three in Defensive Player of the Year voting in their first 4 years. The two players were Lawrence Taylor and Micah Parsons. It gives you an idea of what Parsons has accomplished through time. And players like that don't often get traded. And they certainly don't get traded from the Dallas Cowboys. The last time the Cowboys made a huge trade dealing away a Pro Bowl caliber player would have been 30-plus years ago when Jerry sent Herschel Walker away. And, yeah, it was unusual, but I got to be honest with you. Like, there are big stories in this league consistently. Maybe not that size. I got it. But, you know, every year there's something else. Every year. And everything at that time is the biggest deal. And Micah was the biggest deal because it deserved to be the big deal, and it was one of the biggest trades that we've seen in the last decade, maybe this century in the NFL. That's fair. But I'm just telling you, this league is incredible at producing drama and storylines and moves like this. So, you know, it doesn't deserve its own category like the Luka Doncic trade.
There's always stories in the NFL, and that's why we love the NFL. That's why we love having you on, Adam. We're looking forward to another season talking news and notes with you all year long. Appreciate you joining us.
Guys, great to be with you. Look forward to the season and enjoy week one.
All right, thanks, Adam.
Happy kickoff.
Thank you.
Adam Schefter, brought to you by New England Chevy Dealers. Together, let's drive.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.